J-Rod, for your introduction and for the way you treat the people that are coming in. I feel a sense of authenticity and wonder as this is the first time in my AA history that I've had the opportunity to get into an international meeting as you do here in Zoom. You guys are very organized. I know we need not be organized, but I will say that you guys have put together a really nice format here. I'm very proud to be part of this and thank you for your leadership and your willingness to be here for the newcomer, as well as old farts like me. By the grace of God, and because this program works, I haven't found it necessary to pick up a drink or a drug since September 10th of 1986. And I will say, I still got a month and 8 days to go to get to that 40. So I'm gonna hold off till then to celebrate. And I do celebrate the fact that I've been in recovery a long time. I have never done anything in my life for this long without falling apart in the process. And I think it's because I have all of you and people like you and rooms like these to keep me in the straight and narrow, to keep me online. Because there has been some tough times in my time as in sobriety. I was divorced in sobriety twice. I lost both my mother and my father in sobriety. I have lost jobs in sobriety, and life doesn't get easier just because I got sober. But my approach in life, my ability to handle life on life's terms, has gotten markedly better. I realize that although I am selfish, self-centered, egotistical, and pretty much still nuts to some degree, I have found a way to deal with sobriety. I have found a day to deal with my addictive nature, because I am still using the same brain cells that I used 40 years ago when I didn't know how to be a decent human being. So I'll tell you my story as I remember it in as short of time as I can possibly do that, but I just can tell you that I was born weird and it got worse from there. I was one of five children. I was the middle kid, and I heard somebody say it, and I'll steal it, that attention was my drug of choice. I wanted attention, and if I didn't get the attention, I would do something crazy or stupid in order to get it, and didn't even realize that's what I was doing. I didn't like who I was, and I didn't like who you saw me as, and I certainly didn't like what I saw myself as. And I remember the first time I picked up a drink. It was Boone's Farm apple wine, and I thought this is going to be a really cool road trip because it made me feel a little bit less shy, a little bit more understanding of my own expectations and limitations. And then I also introduced a few dry drugs. I won't talk about them as much, but I will tell you they're part of my story and they're part of Dr. Bob's story and Bill's story as well. So I'm not going to totally throw it out the window. I will say that when I started to drink, I was very, very young. I was still in grade school, and we would go over Tommy O'Malley's house, and we would drink out of his father's liquor cabinet and replace what we drank with water. And I don't know if his parents ever caught on, but I certainly went back to grade school feeling a little better after lunch. And because we spent lunch at Tommy's house drinking his father's booze. When I got into high school, I found out that there were other things in life to get high on, and I continuously searched for that perfect combination of of drink and drug. And once I achieved it, I chased it over and over and over again. I am what you call a high bottom drunk. I did not spend any time in the penitentiary, although I am an unconvicted felon. I will tell you too that I made a lot of bad decisions in addition to the alcohol and drugs, and my consequences were small. I didn't spend any nights in jail. I've never even had a DWI. I didn't go to treatment. I was just one of these garden variety drunks that just didn't get caught. Thousands of times I drove drunk, and I never got caught. I got pulled over a few times and got away with it with a little bit of fast talking, but I remember blacking out. I remember waking up in places that I shouldn't have woke up in. I remember doing things that not only were illegal, but also very dangerous. And I just never got caught. I was either lucky that I didn't get caught or unlucky, because I might have gotten drunk, sober sooner. I was 35 years old when I got sober. And so on the 10th of this month, I will celebrate belly button birthday 75. And for me, I never thought I would live to 40, let alone have 40 years of sobriety. So I don't know. I can only tell you that I know in my heart of hearts that I qualify. I qualify for this program because drinking and drugging did for me what I couldn't do for myself. They gave me all the things that sobriety later gave to me. You see, I was just looking in the wrong places. I was looking in places where I could get high enough or drunk enough that I didn't have to be me. I didn't have to feel like this person who couldn't get along, this person who had no idea of how to handle life on life's terms. So I moved up a little bit to the point where I had three children, the mother of those three children, my wife at the time, had enough of me coming home at 4 a.m. night after night after night, and not doing my fair share as a father or as a husband or as a citizen for that matter. And she had asked me to leave. And I honestly thought, good, I'll get away from this nag and those damn rugrats, and I'll go live a life that I've always wanted to live. Except I didn't realize that I had no tools. I had no way of living life without a bottle. I had no way of being someone who could handle life on life's terms. So what I ended up doing is moving back to live with my parents. I was humbled. I was so ridiculously saddened, and I felt like such a failure. I'm living in the attic of my parents' home, the one that I grew up in at 35. And I was quite brought down to my knees. But I realized there that I couldn't go back to drinking because it was killing me. And I realized that I didn't have any other way out. And so I thought, I got to get some help. I need to figure out what life without this crutch of drugs and drinking would do for me. And I ended up detoxing in my parents' attic, went through the shakes, the DTs as they call them, and the spiders and kids coming through the window. I remember one very clear nightmare that I had, where I was sleeping on the floor in the attic, and I dreamed that these monsters were coming through the windows of the attic, and when I went to fight them off, these monsters turned into my children, and I was in the middle of crazy, unbelievably insane thoughts, and so I went to AA. I called the AA Central office in Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I'm from originally, and I told them that I had I think I have a problem, which was quite an understatement. And they told me where I could find a meeting. And when I first came to find you, I was not really impressed. A bunch of old people mostly, laughing around, drinking a lot of coffee and smoking a lot of cigarettes. And this was in the days where we had porcelain coffee cups for all the meetings. And smoking was allowed in all the meetings. I mean, we didn't even think about not smoking. So there was a lot of that going on. And so the guy that said, "I'm going to be your co-sponsor," because he wasn't sure that I was going to make it. So he figured that if he was a co-sponsor, he wouldn't have to put me on the tally list of those that he couldn't help. So I got to the place where he put me to work cleaning ashtrays and washing cups. And I would go to meetings every day. Every day I went to a meeting, twice on Saturday and twice on Sunday. And so 9 meetings about was my time for going to meetings. And I ran into a woman at meetings. They tell you no relationships in the first year. That might be good advice for somebody else, but obviously it wasn't good advice for me. I found a young lady who had sobriety, and she had what I wanted, and I was willing to go to any length to get it. And I took certain steps to find that way in. And so she went to a lot of meetings, so I went to a lot of meetings, and I got a sense of sobriety that was pretty shallow. It was pretty, I was in it, but not for the depth of it. And I went on that way for quite a while. I would hop from meeting to meeting, and if I didn't like one, I wouldn't stick around to change it. I would try to find a different meeting instead. I found people that thought like me, and there were several times when I almost went back out. But a good conversation in a parking lot with a friend until the sun came up gave me purpose to give it another try, to keep trying. So I kept trying, and it kept working for whatever reason. And days after days kind of piled upon each other. And I realized that all the people in the meeting were just like me in many ways. I was given another chance, I guess I'll say. And but when it came to about 10 years of sober, I thought, if this is all there is, it's not enough. It's not enough. I need more out of sobriety than don't drink, go to meetings, and pray. And I heard a guy say from the podium of a meeting, he said, "If you want sobriety in the worst way, don't drink, go to meeting and pray, and that's all you'll get. You'll get sobriety in the worst way. But if you want all that this program has to offer, you have to get down to causes and conditions. You have to start looking at the big book. You have to start working the steps in a way that makes sense with someone who's done that successfully." And then I found a new sponsor, one that had to be my sponsor for the next 20 some years. And I understood where he was coming from. He understood that where I was coming from, because we had both caught the same disease. And it was a matter of life and death, worse than COVID. I was trying really hard to stay alive and to stay sober. And I read a little deeper into the book, and the book tells me that it is important that I have a spiritual experience as the result of these steps.
5 minutes, friend.
And see how fast that goes? Just pew. Ask me to speak for 2 hours, no problem. 20 minutes, I got an issue. Where am I? I'm trying to find a God of my understanding that's a little, take me a little bit deeper. And at 10 years of sobriety, I walked into a place where I found a sense of God that meant something to me, one that was not exclusionary, one that incorporated all the faith traditions that were important to learn from the wisdom that belongs to all of humanity. And at the age of 54, I went into seminary. And in 2007, I was ordained. And I carry AA and the tenets that it stands on, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, as a big part of my ministry. And my focus is to help others find a God of their understanding and not one of my understanding. And so far it's been working out pretty well. And for the last 39 plus years, I haven't felt like jumping off a bridge. I don't feel like shooting anybody. Well, there's a few people, I suppose, but for me and for life on life's terms has gotten a lot easier. And I realize that although I can't create the life in every aspect, I can certainly make my responses count. So what I do is I try to live that life, incorporate the principles of AA. And if you practice these principles in all of your affairs, you won't have any affairs, which is a good thing for me. And I'll shut up. Thanks.